KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Coming up,
Stormy Daniels' lawyer arrested. I'm Ryan Harris with the two federal cases against Michael Avenatti linked to the Northwest.
From ABC News, I'm Scott Goldberg. From dreams of the White House to possibly the Big House, Michael Avenatti once considered a run for the Oval Office, but now he's facing federal charges in two cases.
Federal prosecutors on both coasts lay out complex schemes to take money allegedly perpetrated by Michael Avenatti. In New York, U.S. Attorney Jeff Berman claims Avenatti tried to blackmail Nike into paying over $20 million or Avenatti would hold a news conference to hurt Nike's image and stock price.
A suit and tie doesn't mask the fact that at its core, this was an old-fashioned shakedown.
And here in California, in a separate case, Avenatti is accused of embezzling a client's money to live a lavish lifestyle. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
12 people charged in a college admissions cheating scandal have pleaded not guilty in federal courts.
The first to appear was former Georgetown University tennis coach Gordon Ernst. He was followed by other athletic officials and associates of William Singer, the college admissions counselor who's admitted to running a multi-million-dollar national machine that accepted bribes from parents intent on getting their kids into elite colleges, even if their grades or their athletic ability didn't warrant it. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Boston.
Three sources tell ABC News that Ethiopian investigators this weekend handed over raw data from the flight data recorder to international parties taking part in the investigation into this month's downed flight. That includes the NTSB and Boeing. President Trump says he wouldn't be bothered if Attorney General William Barr released to the public Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report on the Russia investigation.
We can never let this happen to another president again. I can tell you that. I say it very strongly.
He accused those of launching the investigation of treason. Sirens wailing across southern Israel as Gaza launches more rockets following an Israeli strike on a Hamas office. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. KOMO Midday.
Good afternoon. KOMO News Time 102. I'm Taylor Van Sice with the top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center. The lawyer best known for representing porn star Stormy Daniels in the case of hush money over her affair with President Trump is arrested on multiple federal charges on both coasts, as you heard on ABC. Well, there are ties to the Northwest in both of these cases, as we hear from KOMO's Ryan Harris.
Federal prosecutors in Los Angeles say Michael Avenatti committed bank fraud by using phony tax returns to obtain more than $4 million in loans, only they say he never actually filed the returns nor paid taxes for 2011 through 2013. That Avenatti owed millions in back payroll taxes for his law firms and a coffee company that operates Tully shops in Washington. All of it, says IRS criminal investigator Mark Pearson, to fund a lavish lifestyle.
A venture into a car racing company, a lifestyle estimated to exceed over $200,000 a month, and the ownership of a $5 million Laguna Beach home.
In New York, U.S. Attorney Jeff Berman says Avenatti tried to extort more than $22 million from Oregon-based Nike with threats he'd hurt the company's value by exposing misconduct of Nike employees involved with a high school basketball team's contract.
Avenatti was not acting as an attorney. A suit and tie doesn't mask the fact that at its core, this was an old-fashioned shakedown.
In California, U.S. Attorney Nick Hanna says they've worked on their case for some time and that it has nothing to do with Avenatti's vocal criticism of President Trump. Ryan Harris, KOMO News.
A bill aimed at strengthening laws on restraining orders when it comes to guns was heard in Olympia today. KOMO's Sue Romero has more.
Under current protection order law, if the accused person owns a gun, they have up to 5 days after being served to turn it in, if it's required in the order. House Bill 1786 would require the immediate surrender of a firearm when served. Domestic violence survivor Rebecca Houghton spoke in favor of the bill.
The presence of a gun in a domestic violence incident makes it 5 times more likely that a woman will die.
But Raydonna Devereaux with the group Silent No More that seeks to protect Second Amendment rights says the bill interferes with due process when a gun owner is served with a restraining order.
When the officer shows up at the house, the officer is under orders to go in and search that person's house. They haven't even had their day in court to defend themselves.
The hearing was before the Senate Law and Justice Committee. Sue Romero, KOMO News.
Coming up on KOMO,
I'm Brian Calvert with a local man who will finally be off that cruise ship that lost its engines over the weekend.
First, first, AAA traffic. We check that every 10 minutes on the fours. Marina Rockinger, what's going on getting into Seattle?
Earlier, we had some emergency expansion joint repairs, so they had a couple lanes closed at the convention center. That has left a lengthy backup, bumper-to-bumper traffic from Northeast 85th towards downtown Seattle. If you don't have time to wait it out, you could certainly take Highway 99. It's an excellent option right now. Southbound 405 is a struggle from earlier issues as well that were actually northbound, but southbound is slow from I-90 down to about 44th, and northbound is quite heavy through Renton from the Maple Valley Highway up to 44th. Southbound 405 struggling to the transition of westbound Highway 518, and the reason for that is a collision just east of it looks like it's just east of International Boulevard, Highway 99. Two left lanes are blocked. This look at traffic brought to you by Seattle Center. Catch a ride to the center by bus, monorail, Lyft, rideshare, or drive and park. Experience world cultures at their big neighborhood. Moving around the world, April 6th through April 12th. Your next Como traffic at 1:14.
Seth Wayne now with the Como forecast.
As we transition our way through the rest of the afternoon, we're on our way to cloudy skies and some wet weather at times. Temperatures in the upper 50s pushing about 60. Going for the same tomorrow, although the chance of rain mainly in the morning, and then we clear up just a bit in the afternoon. It'll be hit and miss with the scattered showers through the middle and end of the week. Have yourselves a great day. I'm Seth Wayne in the Como Weather Center.
In Seattle right now, we have cloudy skies, and it's 57 degrees at Como News. Como News Time 106. Hundreds of transit buses and thousands of bus trips are now displaced from the downtown bus tunnel to make room for light rail expansion. Como's Corwin Hake with more from downtown Seattle.
We've been calling this the bus tunnel ever since it opened in the 1990s. Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin says we're going to have to get over that.
It's no longer a bus tunnel.
Buses are banned down here as those trips are increasingly replaced by commuter trains. Inevitably, Durkin says, this means in the short term, more buses on surface streets and consequently more congestion.
We've done all we could to adjust for that. We've created additional bus lanes on 5th and 6th Avenue. We're going to have two-door boarding on 3rd Avenue.
It may not be enough. If the viaduct closure was Seattle Squeeze Part 1, this is definitely Part 2. An inconvenience for now, the mayor says, will earn us a more mobile city down the road. Corwin Hake, Como News.
Passengers aboard a cruise ship that lost its engines off the coast of Norway are headed home starting today. Como's Brian Calvert has more from a Seattle man who's still aboard.
Rolando Lamarca says his crew was headed to view the Northern Lights, but the sea got really rough on Friday.
Pitching and rolling, side up and forward and aft.
Then the engines on the Viking Sky gave out.
We were finishing lunch and all of a sudden everything became eerily quiet. And then just like that, everything started flying.
Water rushed in through a broken window. The captain declared the cruise was over, and about half of the passengers were flown to shore.
The waters were that bad that they could not use the lifeboat. It'll just be futile to try to get in them and try to get it to shore.
Lamarca says the crew did a great job keeping everyone calm. Now flights are being arranged to get all the passengers to where they were supposed to end up on Tuesday.
You will just get there probably Monday instead.
Brian Calvert, Como News. Como News Time 108. A federal judge is considering a state request to uphold a new law that makes it easier for a sick Hanford employee to get workers' compensation. This follows a lawsuit filed by the federal government seeking to block the new law. The legislature passed a law that assumes a wide range of illnesses current and former Hanford workers may develop are the result of working there at the site. The Tri-City Herald reports that federal lawyers argue it violates the U.S. Constitution because it discriminates against the federal government with heightened liability for workers' comp. A national report gives Washington State an F in the attempt to remove lead from school drinking water. Como's Eric Hines reports nearly two dozen other states also flunked.
Two groups, including Environment America Research and Policy Center, say Washington and 21 other states failed a national ranking of their efforts to remove lead from drinking water in public schools and preschool centers. According to the Seattle Times, the report surveyed 32 states and graded each on whether it has policies that require schools to proactively remove lead from their water systems or only in response to water quality tests. The survey also included testing protocols and public transparency in each state. Eric Heinz, Como News.
A man was found shot to death in a car along Highway 520 this morning.
Where we ended up responding to and finding This victim is eastbound on the west high rise of State Route 520.
That's Trooper Rick Johnson, who says a woman was seen running in the westbound lanes near Montlake. When they arrived, she told them where to find the body. The man was in the driver's seat of the car, and there was a bullet hole in the windshield. Detectives trying to figure out if this was a homicide or a suicide. And the sister of an Everett man killed by a hit-and-run driver has issued a desperate plea.
Maya Martin is stunned that someone could be so heartless.
This is my brother. This is somebody I love dearly.
Police say 56-year-old Hal Fisher was on his way to buy cigarettes from a 7-Eleven just a few blocks from his home in Everett. He was struck while he was in the crosswalk on Evergreen Way.
He was this vibrant man that cares for his mother, you know. He's 80 years old. Her caretaker. And he goes out just for a pack of cigarettes and gets mowed down by someone in an SUV.
He died several days later in the hospital, leaving his sister and mother heartbroken. In Everett, Suzanne Fawn, Como News.
Como News Time 110. An update on sports now from the Harley Exterior Sports Desk, and Tom Glasgow begins on the diamond.
Back from Japan, back to baseball for the Mariners tonight at T-Mobile Park, but it's preseason play, the first of a two-game series with the San Diego Padres. Tonight's game getting underway at 7:10. Tomorrow, the two teams will go at 1:10. And for the Mariners, the regular season will resume Thursday afternoon with the Red Sox in town for a four-game series. That Thursday start set for 4:10. NCAA March Madness continues for Gonzaga, advancing to the Sweet 16 in a matchup Thursday in Anaheim against Florida State. Josh Perkins, outstanding point guard for the Zags, thrilled to be back in the Sweet 16.
I'm feeling still surreal, you know, and I'm just glad I've been a part of something so special. You know, I try and cherish every moment, you know, and just live on a day-to-day basis. And right now, I'm one of the happiest people in the world.
Thursday's game tips off at 4:09. Now, while the men break until a Thursday in terms of March Madness, the women resume play tonight. Gonzaga taking on Oregon State in Corvallis, 6 o'clock the tip time, and Stanford at home against BYU. They'll go tonight at 8. More sports in 30 minutes right here on your home of the Huskies. Como News, I'm Tom Glasgow.
More now on that young man coping with autism whose independence was essentially taken away from him and then restored thanks to a measure of human kindness. Here's ABC's Pete Combs.
For 26-year-old Tony Jones, this is the sound of freedom and independence. Determined to cope with his autism, Tony wanted a job in a place of his own, and this scooter was his ticket to all of that. It allowed him to keep a job bagging groceries and eventually to get his own apartment. And then, less than 6 months later, the scooter was gone, stolen.
It just made me upset. I wasn't happy about it.
Thanks to Acworth Police Detective Evan Wallace, Tony found the moped at a Bartow County impound lot. But the attendant there wouldn't even show it to them without money in hand. First, it was $350, then $250. Tony paid.
When we go look at the scooter, we discover it's destroyed.
Wallace could see Tony was heartbroken, and right there, Wallace made a decision.
I was pretty upset about it, obviously, you know. Here in Acworth, we're a family, and he's been in Acworth for 5 months or so now, and so now he's a part of the family, and we wanted to help him out.
Acworth detectives started exploring options. Lieutenant David St. Ange says eventually they came up with a plan. They'd use money from the department's chaplain's fund.
So we were excited to put the plan into motion, and it was a wonderful surprise for Tony.
They bought me this brand new scooter, and I have to thank him so much. I'm very happy for that.
Tony now has his independence back. And Acworth police, like Detective Evan Wallace, they say that makes them feel pretty good.
We're happy for him. We're just glad, you know, there's so much negativity that we see day in and day out that a happy ending like this is very satisfying.
Pete Combs, ABC News, Acworth, Georgia.
A question for the bosses. When was the last time you responded to a customer service email or answered the customer service phone line? ABC's Daria Albinger says, if you can't remember, you may want to change that, and quickly.
It's something many successful companies do.
Everybody in the company answers the customer service emails, from the newest hire all the way up to the CEO.
Entrepreneur Dana Steele, creator of Your Daily Success Tip, says it's the best way to see what's working and helping the bottom line, and maybe even more importantly, what isn't.
If you have a problem or some sort of issue with a product or a service, the first place you're going to start to find it is when that pattern is repeating itself, either on your customer service line or your customer service email.
That's Dollars and Common Sense. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Como News Time 114. AAA traffic now. Here's Marina Rockinger.
A serious struggle into Seattle, southbound I-5 from about Lake City Way through Seattle. This was from an earlier repair of some expansion joints near the convention center and also reports of a collision at Holgate. So all of that adds up to a really lengthy backup. We've got slowdowns southbound 405 from the Valley Freeway past I-5 and then where it transitions to westbound Highway 518. The reason for that is a collision just east of Highway 99, International Boulevard. Two left lanes are blocked, and that's also causing a backup in the other direction, too. We have it really difficult southbound 405 from I-90 down to 44th. Northbound is bumper to bumper from Maple Valley Highway up to the Kennedale Hill. This look at traffic is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Poker at Muckleshoot Casino is hands down the best in the Pacific Northwest, featuring the largest non-smoking room, tableside food service, and bar. Muckleshoot Casino, the biggest and best in the Northwest. Your next Como traffic at 124.
Okay, the Como forecast looks like it will improve a little bit, but then kind of just tease us, actually. We'll have temperatures around 60 degrees most of this week. Sunshine returns for tomorrow afternoon and for Wednesday, but for tonight, expect a little bit of rain. Some rain toward the end of the week also. Right now in Seattle, it's 57 degrees at Como News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. Seattle's only 24-hour news station, Como News.
Bill O'Neill is at our editor's desk. I'm Taylor Van Sice. Among the headlines that we're following today, Michael Avenatti being charged in two states for two separate cases. The former attorney for porn star Stormy Daniels arrested and charged in New York for extortion charges, claim from Nike. Meanwhile, on the other coast in L.A., prosecutors charged Avenatti separately, where he's accused of embezzling a client's money. And Pittsburgh public school students are walking out of class today to protest the not guilty verdict found in the trial of Michael Rosfeld. Students can be seen holding signs that say Black Lives Matter and Antoine Rose's name. On Friday, former East Pittsburgh officer Rosfeld was acquitted of all four counts of the shooting death of the unarmed black teenager. It's 1:16. By now, you've probably heard the basics of the Mueller investigation summary released by Attorney General William Barr last night. Nobody in the Trump campaign directly coordinated with Russia to influence the 2016 presidential campaign, and Barr believes there's not enough evidence to charge the president with obstruction of justice, but that it does not exonerate the president. Now come the calls for the full report to be released publicly. And joining me on the Como News line is political science professor Alan Sanders from St. Peter's University. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Taylor. How are you?
I'm doing well. Everybody's going to take away something different from William Barr's summary. So for you, as both a political science professor and a former reporter for Time magazine, what was your first impression?
Well, my first impression was, of course, that it's good news for the president. That goes without saying. And as we all know, he has gloated over this for the past few hours since the report became public. But let's understand something. This is not a summary report. This is simply a conclusion. There's not a bit of evidence that's been produced in the four pages. But we are told that there's mountains and mountains of evidence that have been produced and reviewed by the special counsel. So anybody looking, particularly if you're in Congress, anybody looking at this would say, okay, we know what your conclusions are, but how did you get there? And I think that's what the Democrats are saying. We need to figure out what's what. Certainly, there's you can't just, you know, if you're grading a paper as a professor, I would say, okay, that's your conclusion, but how did you get there? And that would be what a good professor would want, and I would think a good Congress would want to know how did you get there, particularly since the second finding that there is no obstruction of justice was not what the special counsel found. It's the conclusion that the attorney general reached on the basis of the evidence uncovered by the special counsel. So I would think in particular the Congress, and in this case, of course, the Democrats, would want to look at that very closely.
Now, if you could sit the whole country down in a classroom to examine the last 22 months of this whole investigation, what would you want the country to learn from this? I mean, and with students kind of like how I was in poli sci, you know, enough to know that John Locke was an important name, but not why.
Well, I think what we certainly have learned for sure is that Russia tried to interfere in our elections. The special counsel has discovered and concluded that the president did not collude, but any government agency, particularly the Congress, and I would think the administration would want to know, well, what happened? They certainly tried to intervene. They certainly tried to interfere. We know that members of the administration, or at that point in time, members of the campaign, talked and communicated with Russian operatives. And so what we would really want to know is, again, the underlying evidence, because to have a foreign state intervene and interfere in our elections is a serious problem. And although the administration or the campaign did not collude, according to the special counsel, clearly there was an attempt to intervene in our internal sovereign affairs. And I think that's critical, that's important, and that deserves further investigation.
Now, 25 to 30 years from now, when the academics get a firm handle on this and we get some real perspective, more than, you know, just this being released yesterday, the summary of it, do you think the Mueller investigation is going to get its own chapter in a textbook, or is it going to be lumped in with all the other presidential investigations?
Well, I think it probably will. I mean, we still need to see the underlying evidence. Don't forget that the House of Representatives voted unanimously, if I recall correctly, that they want to see the full report. So all we have now is a four-page summary, and that's not very much. And actually, it's not a summary. It's just a four-page conclusion. So I think we need to see the full report. And depending on what's contained in that full report, then we will have a better sense of the place in history that the report will have in years to come. But certainly a two-year investigation of an administration is an important chapter, particularly when there's been so much evidence that's been gathered. And so I would think that it would have an important part and an important place in the history of this country.
Professor Alan Sanders with us from St. Peter's University in New Jersey. Thank you, Professor.
My pleasure, Taylor. You have a great afternoon.
You too. Como News Time 120. Our Propel Insurance Money Update now. The closing numbers on Wall Street were mixed today. The Dow had been down most of the trading session, but finished higher by 14.5 points. The NASDAQ was down by 5. The S&P 500 down by 2. With more money news, here's Frank Miller.
Traders continuing to worry about the inverted yield curve, an occurrence that hasn't happened since 2007 and is seen by many investors as an indication that a recession may be on the way. And amid a relatively light day on the corporate news front, Apple continues to grab the headlines. The tech giant is unveiling a video and news subscription service this afternoon, but also is announcing that it's getting into the credit card business. Users can sign up for the Apple credit card using their iPhones with nearly immediate access to it upon approval. It'll reportedly offer 2% cash back on purchases made through Apple Pay and 3% on purchases through Apple. And that's your money now.
Money news at 20 and 50 past the hour. AAA traffic is next.
Traffic congested, snarled, jammed. The solution. Como AAA traffic alerts every 10 minutes on the fours. Breaking traffic news as it happens. Stay connected. Stay informed. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.